it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We want to start with the Jets here and get some football in. You know, I don't have a major problem with it. You and I have had these discussions before with the way Aaron Glenn has handled the media here, being short with some of these questions, and they were replaying some of the stuff during the morning show today with Aaron Glenn. I really don't care what Aaron Glenn says to the media, how he handles things. What I don't want is Aaron Glenn to change who he is or let the media or fans, what they're saying, impact his thought process. And it's hard to argue that it's not impacting his thought process. I think it is just 6 weeks in. And to me, that would be, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, it's the first thing that made me a little nervous about Glenn. When he starts to react to that stuff or let the noise get to him and you can see him reacting to it, that's where I think you have a problem. And that's where we're at with Aaron Glenn.
We are there, unfortunately. And we do have an issue. And somebody's got to get in the ear of Aaron Glenn and let him know what the heck is going on here, because he is digging himself a hole that even somebody that collectively we're rooting for, because he's a Jet and we like those storylines, but that's already expired. He's just making his job tougher. So what we're talking about is he was asked, I don't know who, may have been Rich or Cass. Actually, I'm not even sure who it was. He was asked about, why aren't you guys throwing the ball downfield? That's a pretty good question. You know, I mean, yeah, you got to score some points in the NFL. Take a few shots. You might get a pass interference. I don't know. You might actually catch a touchdown pass. Either way, he was asked about this, and his answer, quite frankly, was terrifying. It actually worries. I heard this, and then I heard Greg and Booms talking about this, and I'm like, they're right. And my instinct was the same thing. He said, all right, now I'll paraphrase this part. All right, listen, I could take some shots downfield, that's fine. But if it gets intercepted, you guys are going to complain. Whoa, you guys are going to be all over us. I mean, along the lines of telling us, this is why I use the word terrifying, telling us that the Jets, Aaron Glenn, they are actually incorporating what we might think or what we might say if things go awry by taking a shot down the football field. That is really one of the most alarming things I've heard from a coach in a long time. That is ridiculous.
But I don't think that he's saying that he's not going to throw it deep because he's
worried
about
the push. But they're not
throwing
it down.
Yeah, well, because Justin Fields doesn't want to throw the football. That's not his fault. I mean, Justin Fields doesn't want to throw it. And he didn't throw it against the best defense in the league. So forget that for a second. Do you really think that Aaron Glenn is not going to call a certain play because he's worried about the reaction? So for me, and by the way, I don't think that he's wrong. If Justin Fields does throw it down the field or the Jets start airing it out, what do you think the media is going to say if it goes awry? Oh, why are you throwing the football down the field with the quarterback who's clearly going to run? So Aaron Glenn's not wrong, number one. Number two, I don't believe that he's not throwing it down the field because of what the media is going to say.
Well, then why did he say it?
Well, where I do it, well, because I think it's true. I think it's true. Now, what he, even though it may be true, what he shouldn't be doing is talking about those things in the open. He could feel it. Was he the first coach that's ever been criticized by the media? Everybody's been criticized by the media or the fans, especially when you're losing. You're 0-6. You just got to sit there and take it. So he could feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't say those things. So a part of the appeal to me about Aaron Glenn's personality is that he's transparent, he's open, he's upfront, he's honest. The problem is when you have that and you're 0-6, Glenn right now has zero legs to stand on. And he doesn't understand why he's being ripped apart by everybody, because he, in his mind, he's the football coach. We know nothing. And he's right in that regard. Like, sure, he is the football coach. We know nothing. But he can't understand why people are going to be questioning him. The reality of the situation is when you're 0-6 and as bad as the Jets have been with the decisions, with all that's gone on here, he is going to be questioned. He could believe a certain thing. I don't believe he should be addressing those things publicly, which is only going to make things worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I guess in some way, we're kind of saying the same thing. Like, the ability to handle duress and pushback, that's, you know, that there's a learning curve for that. So I'm not trying to, you know, color outside the lines here and be unfair to Aaron. I'm just merely reacting to what he's telling us. He is volunteering this.
Right.
And to me, that is absolutely ridiculous. The question isn't, is Justin Fields good enough to make to make big plays down the field? Number one, the answer is no.
Right.
And number two, if Garrett Wilson's double teamed, nobody else will be open. So I don't expect the Jets to become some aerial assault team like Jim Kelly and the run and shoot Bills back in the day. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I heard a coach go to the podium
right. In
the loudest city with the most distractions and quite frankly, the absolutely most disgusted fan base in all the sports. And one of his central themes is to tell us that he's worried about what we think.
Well, I don't.
Or
I don't,
what we might say.
No, I don't think that he's worried about it. I think that he's sensitive to it, which is a problem. Like, put yourself in his shoes for a second. You believe in what you're doing. You worked your ass off to get this opportunity your whole life. You know that certain things are out of your control. You're trying to get this thing turned around. And really from week one on, or certainly week two, definitively after week two, because after week one, everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. Week two on, everybody's starting to doubt him and poke holes in him. He's got the personality that doesn't want to hear any of the bullcrap nonsense, which I understand because I don't want to hear people, whether it's social media, we gave up this example the other day.
Like how to do a show?
Whatever it may be. Yeah, whatever it may be. Man, there are ways to do it. Somebody's calling it. Hey, you should do this. And there were times where I'd be like, shut up. I'm doing the show. You don't know what you're doing. And I learned that maybe that's not the best way to address it. Just let them say what they want and ignore it. Mm-hmm. He's learning. That's what happens with a young guy when he's getting that job. So I don't think that he really is going to have his thought process or play calling impacted by what the media might say. He's just being very sensitive and defensive to it because he's been getting bludgeoned for 6 straight weeks, pissed off with what's going on with his team, and annoyed that he's got to answer questions from people who don't know a fraction of what he knows, and that they think they know more than he does, even with his 0-6 and bad decisions. Like, we don't know more than Aaron Glenn does. So I just think he's handling it the wrong way, but I think he's learning as a rookie head coach.
Well, I mean, to me, he'll show me that he's learning when he actually changes his approach. Right. I think he's learning. I hear you. You would think that this stuff would start to resonate and he would get better, and he's a smart guy. And I believe that one of the reasons that Aaron was very appealing to me, Sal, is that I do believe he's a leader of men.
Right.
I really do. And that's one of the things you must have, especially in football. Gase obviously did not have it. I thought Saleh had it. He didn't. Nobody followed him. I think that Aaron's got that gene. And I think that, whether it's being for the Parcells tree or being part of the Detroit Lions rebuild with Campbell or being part of the Jets rebuild as a player in the mid-90s when they went 3-13 and 1-15 back-to-back in 95 and 96 with Kotite and then eventually 9-7, 12-4 with Bill, he has seen a lot of football. I'm not questioning his football thought process, but I'm beginning to question his mentality,
okay. Which
is the one thing that I thought for sure he would knock out of the park from day one.
Right, but would you rather have somebody like Robert Saleh or Adam Gase who either didn't answer the question, beats around the bush, doesn't do it? He's going to learn that the right way to handle this type of stuff is to not be sensitive and defensive to it. Let them ask the question.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And like, the best way to answer that would be like, our team is not built to throw the football down the field.
Mm-hmm.
We were built to run the football down the opponent's throat. We will take the proper shots when they're there, when we feel like it. Even if you want to get a little like, you're not the offensive play call. I know that's probably a little combative.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, just say the truth. We're not built to throw the football down the field. Don't say, well, what's going to happen when we do? Which is going to happen. He's right. But you don't need to go there. And I think those are things he's got to learn about New York, especially when they're losing to the level that they're losing.
And this is what worries me about the Jets as an organization. Like, are the Jets doing the right thing? I'm sure they're not trying to do the wrong thing. But are they doing the right thing to prepare him for what he's going to be asked about? I mean, the people in the building, Rich Samidi didn't just crawl out of a rock
right.
to start covering the Jets. Costello, O'Connor, like these people have been on the beat forever. Catanzaro, they understand the dance. They understand when I say the dance, the back and forth, the volley, the head coach, the questions, the dance, the routine. You got to anticipate this, you dopes. So why don't you sit down with Aaron Glenn? Why don't you let him know what's coming? And trust his intelligence to be able to work around that. Now, if they did do this and Aaron's still butchering it because he's either too green or too aggressive or caught in between, then that's on Aaron Glenn. But, like, you're not just the worst, and they are the worst franchise in all of North American sports right now. They've got the longest playoff drought. We know this. Mm-hmm. We've said it many times. So when you've got a 15-year playoff drought, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, you're not the ninth worst team. You're the worst franchise. And it's not just because you can't pick the right coach or draft the right guy or whatever, or there's scandal. It's because everything is substandard, including the ability to convey to your coach the proper messaging. I hope he gets it. They're not going to win a lot of games. I thought they'd beat Carolina. They probably won't without Garrett Wilson. So this is going to be a 3-14 train wreck. And if he doesn't clean this stuff up, Sal, he's not going to make it to year two.
But see, this is the problem. If I'm Aaron Glenn, you're hired to do a job. You got to let him do his job. And already people since week two, week three, week four, week five, week six, here we go, questioning his job already in year one. What did you expect? You expected miracles from this team. It's not going to happen in year one with a quarterback who they brought in that can't throw the football. A guy who's trying to rebuild this organization. You mentioned it, the worst organization in sports. You want him to take it out of the abyss 6 weeks in? So I can understand his frustration with how people are questioning him already. It may not be the right way to do it, but he's frustrated and being sensitive to it and defensive. That's ultimately not the right way to handle it. He's got to learn that. But I think even his confidence is being shaken here. Maybe he's starting to doubt a little bit how much room he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are all calling for your job or saying you're going to
be... I get it. You get defensive.
Well, okay. So now that's where he's at.
Yeah.
He's got to have some success to quiet the detractors and give himself some confidence, and then maybe he'll be less sensitive or defensive, and then maybe we can start getting this thing back on track. But I think that's where we're at. I love Aaron Glenn's personality. I believe he's got the right mentality, mindset, attributes to be a leader of men and a good head football coach. I also understand that doing it with the Jets is near impossible, especially when you don't have a past record to prove yourself. Because if it were Pete Carroll or whoever else, it wouldn't be the same stuff. We'd be frustrated. We'd be saying, oh, I don't know. But it wouldn't be the same thing. And also, Pete Carroll would know how to handle it because he's been there before. That's what we're going through, a learning process, not just with the decisions going into halftime or how long the field goal was at the end of the game. Also, how to handle adversity. And he's learning all this stuff right out of the gate.
I understand that. And I really am sensitive to that. The only other thing that I would add here is, as he gets defensive, right, nothing that was asked was even remotely out of bounds. It was like really the most benign question. Hey, coach, you know, the offense is having a rough time putting points up. Any thought of maybe taking some shots down the field? That's the most basic football question that you could ask. And really, when you think about when he was asked post-game by Costello, was there any thought to benching Justin Fields? I mean, this has been going on since the 50s and the 60s. Like, every coach, not just here, every coach everywhere. If your starter's winless and he's playing horrendously, like historically bad, it's not some incredibly, it's not a gotcha question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But,
and he's got to be able to handle those. That's a layup, man.
Right, but that's a Parcells, Belichick mindset. The problem is, or the big difference is, those guys had a winning pedigree. Those guys were on winning teams. You can't do that when you're 0-6 and have zero resume to say that there's any belief that you're going to be a good head coach. BT and Sal on the Fan. Plenty of baseball, as we said, coming up later on in the show. We'll hear from Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman as they address the media after the season ended a week ago. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is calling from Rivervale starting us off. What's up, Eric?
What's up, buddy?
BT and Sal, what's happening, guys?
How are you?
All good.
Love that you started with the Jets. I appreciate that much. And I agree with both of you. I think, Aaron, AG just can't win for trying right now. And the problem is that he's trying in the wrong place. He's never going to win with the media. He was right with what he said yesterday, right? There's nothing he can say that's necessarily going to quell, all of the fans as well as the media. So he has to learn.
Yeah, but hold on, Eric. Hold on. But Eric, hold on. And I don't mean to jump you early, but this is important. But don't add to it. Like you just said, there's nothing that he could have said yesterday that would have changed this. Yes, I there is. If he didn't bring in, well, you'll jump all over us if we throw it downfield and get picked off. If he doesn't say that, we're not leading with the Jets today.
Well, I agree. That's kind of my point, is that effectively, like what Bill Belichick always did that made him brilliant was he said nothing. while saying something, right? I mean, he never gave the media anything to chew on. And that's what AG continues to do, because you're right. He's definitely insecure, and obviously they're 0-6, and winning cures all. So to me, where he needs to win is on the field. And for me as a fan, like, there's nothing more frustrating than listening to somebody tell you that what you're seeing isn't what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. And to me, the personnel is the problem. Like, we watched this last game,
but
this last Sunday.
Fix that,
they're running the 12.
You can't fix that in 1 year. It's six games. Like, you're right. You can't fix that in 6 weeks.
I totally agree with you. But what I saw on Sunday, to see them go out in the 12 personnel, to me indicates that they don't know who their personnel are. They're putting two tight ends in blocking schemes that can't block. Breece Hall doesn't get a pass all game. Like, they're not using the personnel the way they need to.
But those are different discussions,
Eric. And that, to me, is
Eric.
Where coaching comes in.
Yep, and you're not wrong. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Good stuff, getting a little juice out of the shoot here, first call. You're not wrong, but we're not even getting into the, you know, like the weeds of the Jets schematics, because nobody cares. Right now, everybody knows the Jets have one terrific wide receiver and a bunch of nobodies. They've got one appealing tight end. And that's, you know, and I like Mason Taylor. They had three pretty good running backs on paper. One's basically out for the season. The other one's not as good as we thought in Davis, and Breece Hall wants out. I mean, you know, so we know that there's a dearth of talent. That's not the concern. That's a concern for next year, but that's not the complaint or the reservations now. What's worrying me, man, and I've still got his back. I want people to know that I've got Aaron's back, and I've still got belief in him. But there's too many warning flares week after week that he's a little overwhelmed by the job.
I don't think he's insecure. I think his position can be deemed insecure. I think there's going to be a little bit of doubt creeping in. I don't believe Aaron Glenn ever thought that he would have started 0-6. And the more that piles up and the louder the noise becomes, the more difficult it is to get out of that. And he really doesn't know. He's learning, so he can believe in himself 100%, which I believe that he does. But until you do the job that you've always wanted successfully, like, how do you really know?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted this opportunity. He got the opportunity. He's gotten smashed in the face here at 0-6. And certainly some things that you could see that he's learning on the go as a head coach that maybe even he didn't realize, whatever it may be, handling the timeouts, handling the end of the half, handling the media. Like, there's a lot of different things that go into it, which is why we said in this particular market, look, if he were doing this in Detroit or wherever else, it wouldn't be this loud. It might be a little noisy with the horrific start. It wouldn't be this loud, especially in year one. So there's a lot at play. The media, the fans, the history of the organization, a rookie head coach, his personality, and the way that he's handling this. Like, I don't think questioning the media or being short or terse or at sometimes combative. I don't think that that's the wrong way. If you're having success, nobody in this town will give a crap. We could either laugh it off. We could be like, this guy's a whatever. It wouldn't matter because he'd be winning. It's the combination, the worst case combination of losing plus seeing him handle it this particular way and him trying to still find himself as the head coach of the New York Jets.
Just imagine if Tom Thibodeau, I know obviously no longer here, but say if Tom said after a playoff game, right, or a bigger profile Cavs, something like that, Celtics last year, regular season game, and he was asked by whomever, all right, hey, you know, coach, why does it seem as if you guys are abandoning your three-point, willingness to shoot so many threes? And his answer was basically, well, I mean, we'd like to shoot some more threes, but you guys would be all over us if we miss them. That's the equivalent.
Yeah, I mean, he might.
It's not different than that.
Tibbs was never, best buddies with the media. There might have been some times where people said about the minutes and he was either in a disrespectful fashion, whatever it may be. It's different because it's Tibbs.
And he also,
it's Lord Tibbs.
He won in Chicago, win championship, but he had some pedigree and he was an assistant here, no doubt.
Bingo. So look at the way Tibbs handled the media. It's a great example. But look at the way Tibbs handled the media. Also, look at his track record. Now, he did have success when he first got here, but still, there's a different, Tibbs was not lovey-dovey with the media. He wasn't like, oh, yeah, you know what? That's a great point. Maybe I should play this guy. No, he was short and terse with it as well. The difference is the resume and the reputation to back it up, where Glenn does not have that.
Confidence comes from doing.
Yeah.
Okay, think about the first time you were on SNY. First time ever, 15 years ago.
100%. You have to, right? You have
think
to
about
have,
it.
You have to have success to have confidence, or experience then some success to have true confidence.
100%. Even the cameo that you shot the other day for Gravesend, right? you go back, or you go back for season four, you go back to finish another scene, you're going to feel better because you've done it.
100%.
Think about anybody who's trying to break 100. You feel good on the reins, man. And you go to that 18th hole, and you got a 95, and you got to get a par. Or if it's a par three, you got to get a bogey to break 100. Well, suddenly things, you feel different because you haven't done it yet. I understand that. All I'm saying is, don't make it tougher, coach.
Yeah, I get it, but that's part of the reason why I wanted a head coach with experience here, because of this exact freaking reason. With that being said, I still believe Glenn has the right attributes to get the job done. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.